Shalom to everybody. We are continuing in Rav Kook's commentary on the Agadot Tot, on the Midrashim in the Gemara, Masechet Shabbat, Daf Nun Hei Amud Bet, and this is chapter 5, paragraph 37. And I couldn't think of a better heading than one of these sentences that I used more on my children probably than any other. And that is, you don't live in a vacuum. The Western world has such a strong stress on the individual and my needs and my interests and what I'm a mitchaber and what I'm not mitchaber and what, in Hebrew they say bali and mashallah bali. How do they say that in English? Feel like it. And Bekitzur, one of the main points, Rav Kook writes a lot about the importance of individualism and the importance of, even he has some postmodern writings in terms of a strong stress on being in touch with yourself and your feelings. But that's not our topic tonight. Our topic tonight is how a person is part of something bigger. So let's see it inside. The Gemara reads as follows. Meitvei. Amru malachei asharet lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The angels said to God, Ribono shel olam, God of all of the worlds, mipnei ma kanasta mita al adam arishon. Why did you sentence death on Adam? Originally, before Adam and Eve sinned, they weren't supposed to die at all. So why did you sentence death? It's a good question. Amar le, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, Mitzvah kala tziviti ve'avar aleha. I gave them sach hakol, I gave them one mitzvah, not to eat from a certain tree, and they did not observe it. Now a lot has been written on the mitzvah. What exactly was the sin? What exactly was the free will? It's a big topic. We're not going to get into that. Amar le, but the angels answered God, V'alo Moshe ve'Aaron shekimu kol haTorah kula v'metu. Haray, there are tzaddikim, like Aaron HaKohen, like Moshe Rabbeinu, and they did not sin, so why do they have to die? Now notice, we're not going to talk about how there is a difference of opinion later in the Talmud that says that apparently they did sin. Right? Right, without getting into any of the 13 commentaries, there are 13 commentaries, what was Moshe's sin there at Meimariva? But it's very clear that apparently he sinned, and so did Aaron. Sorry? So that's the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel says that it's the Egel Azahav, but then the question is, so why does it say after Meimariva? That's where Aaron was punished. I know you have a strong affinity with Aaron, but that's interesting. Rav Reuven Margaliot has an article on the connection between Tanaim and Amoraim, their names, and certain topics that they deal with. In other words, he shows that the people have a natural affinity, either conscious or subconscious, to their name, or to the hero who they're named after. Anyway, this Gemara is going in the direction at this stage that Moshe and Aaron didn't sin. So why did they have to die? Right? Amar le, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God answered them, Mikre echad letzadik vilarasha, latov vilatahor vilatameh. And again, we're only talking tonight about this opinion that says that Moshe and Aaron did not sin, and nevertheless, they have to die, because the Pasuk says in Kohelet, I didn't bring the source, what does it say in the Gemara, where in Kohelet is it? Is it in Kohelet? Kohelet chapter 9. And the continuation, just if, because it's not written in the Gemara, and it's to make heads and tails out of the pasuk, you should fill in. The continuation is Mikre echad litzadik vilarasha latov vilatahor vilatame. Whether you're pure, whether you're impure, whether you're righteous, whether you're evil, everybody ends up in the same place. In other words, the sentence, the punishment of death, is for all people. And apparently that doesn't seem fair, right? The whole idea of schar va'onesh, of reward and punishment, is ish b'cheto yumat. Why should Moshe suffer for what Adam and Chava did? So Rav Kook writes as follows. Afal pi shekol ish v'ish mityached b'bchirato b'matzavo hamusari. Even though every single person has his special level of morality. By the way, the word morality in Rav Kook's musar is not just morality. It's also godliness, it's also spirituality, it's a general term for your spiritual level, which is expressed through your morality, through your ethics. So every person has, through his own free will, we'll talk about that term in a minute, free will. Mikom akom, klalut ha-tchuna shel ha-nefesh ha-enoshit bichlala. On the other hand, mankind as a whole, po'elet al kol echad ve'echad. Gam ba'ofanim ha-yotzim migvul bechirato. Not everything is within the context of free will. Now, free will is one of the most important topics in Judaism. And we spoke once about how, compared to Islam, which is more fatalistic, they believe in predeterminism. That's one of the reasons that the world is suffering because of Islam, right? They think that, you know, if I'm going to die, am I going to be a suicide bomber, that's what I have to do. Judaism is very different. We believe very strongly in free will. And we've seen many times the Rambam, whenever he gets a chance to talk about Bechira, he does. Throughout the Guide for the Perplexed, throughout the Shmona Prakim, throughout Hilchot Deyo, throughout Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, Hilchot Tshuva, just what comes off the top of my head. The Rambam loves the topic of free will. Nevertheless, Rav Kook is stressing, and notice, the Rambam does not use the term free will, Bechira Chofshit. He uses the term Bechira. Because, and this is the first major point of tonight, our will is not totally free. There are certain objective things, and you know what, till I prepared this class, I never noticed that the root of the word objective is that you are like an object, right? You don't have a say in the family that you're going to be born into. I was always short, and I always wanted to be taller, and if you would have asked me in fifth grade, my goal was to play in the NBA. But that was not meant to be, right? There's just certain limitations. Certain people are tone deaf. Certain people are very musical. Certain people are very artistic. Certain people are not, right? That's the famous bell curve. Yeah, most people are somewhere in the middle, but there are some people, and you know what? Even those people in the middle, they don't have free will. They were born in the middle. Right? And the same thing about beauty, and the same thing about weight, and the same thing, right? So things like weight, in general, there are things that you could do about it, right? In terms of dieting and everything. So that's a good example of where Bechira, let's call it free will, because it's not really free, but that's what it's called in English. Is there another word for it? Free choice. Choice. I guess choice.
Autonomy.
Again?
Autonomy.
Autonomy. Okay, yafeh. Okay, so a lot of things, you know, Chazal say in Pirkei Avot, Bar Korchacha Ata Chai, Bal Korchacha Ata Nolad, Bal Korchacha. Against your will, you were born. You did not ask to be conceived. You did not ask to be born. You did not ask to die. But what is the punchline there? Ubal Korchacha Ata Atid Late Dimi Cheshbon. In other words, yeah. You are responsible for your choice, right? You do have choices. Yeah, not 100% is within your free will. Nevertheless, you are responsible for that which is. So the first thing that Rav Kook is saying is, as I told my children many times, again, you do not live in a vacuum. Not in your generation. You can't play music at the highest level at 12 o'clock at night. If your siblings want to go to sleep, if your neighbors want to go to sleep, you don't live in a vacuum. And again, for all of us who, if you're listening, participating in this year, we all grew up in the Western world, that's something that we have to stress to our children. And I see it every year that goes by in my students. It is becoming more and more difficult to teach children and to teach ourselves that we are part of a klal. You're part of a family. You're part of a nation. You're part of a community. And that's a very important thing. Somebody who doesn't understand that is not going to have a happy marriage. As a matter of fact, he probably isn't going to have a marriage at all if you don't understand the ABCs of giving. Anyway, so that is the first point, that not everything is within our free will. So, again, remember what the topic is, for those who joined in late. The Gemara is asking, why do Moshe and Aaron, even if maybe they didn't sin, according to this opinion, if they didn't sin at all, why do they have to suffer for Adam and Chava's sin that Hashem decreed death onto the world? So point number one is, you do not live in a vacuum. You're part of something. And you know what? We'll already foreshadow a drop so I don't forget. All the examples that I gave is that you're not in a vacuum regarding your generation, right? My family, my nation, my community. But Rav Kook also talks about the accumulation, the accumulative factor of history. That I don't have to invent the wheel. I don't have to invent electricity. We gain from the evolution that we always learn about, right? Thank God mankind has advanced, has matured. On the other hand, we also lose from it. And that's where the free will comes in. And when Rav Soloveitchik calls it, that he says in Kol Dod Di Dofek, that the goal of life is liya'ed et ha-goral. Every person has fate. And you and your identical twin, you have a very similar fate. You grew up in the same family, probably got the same education. Identical twins, right? They have the same DNA. Nevertheless, you have responsibility. You have choice. You have autonomy. You will have to build yourself because you can't always blame society. By the way, this is one of the sore points that Freud, you know, we don't have time to get into, was Freud 50% right or 20% right or 60% right. Nobody's 100% right. But one of the problems that Freud has is that when a person goes to a psychoanalyst and the psychoanalyst helps him blame his father for this, blame your mother for that, blame your older brother for this, blame your kindergarten teacher for that, and everyone is to blame except for you. And people are willing to pay a lot of money for psychologists. I have no idea how much it costs today, but it was always a lot of money. Does Kubat Halim cover psychologists? I don't even know. I know in America it's very expensive. In general, it's very expensive, right? And so people pay a lot of money because it's, maybe it's even part of the therapy, to tell you, you know, it's not really your fault. The problem is that according to Judaism, it's not good just to blame him and him and her, and because that way you're not going to take responsibility for your actions. And without getting into Skinner, what percentage is nature and what percentage is nurture and what percentage is free will, it doesn't make a difference. The fact is that part of the picture is free will. Again, bal korchacha ata nolad, against your will, you were born, but against your will, you are going to have to give a accounting on the judgment day. Okay? Paragraph Gimel. Hayirida ha-musarit shel Adam HaRishon. Kav'a bo pechat kazeh. Adam HaRishon. By the way, feminists would be happy that he doesn't even mention Eve. I don't know if they'd be happy or not, because it's hard to know with them. But he blames Adam for the sin in the Garden of Eden. And the fall after that sin is such a significant fall, שרק על ידי חילופי מעברות יבוא לרוממות שלמותו. This is something that we saw last time. Just for your convenience, I brought it in source number 2, that Rav Kook says that man in this world cannot achieve perfection. And the only way to achieve perfection is by dying and going to the Olam HaNishamot, going to Garden of Eden, right? We should have stayed in Garden of Eden, right? But the idea is we need that period in the world to come. And even though it's natural to continue growing, you cannot ever reach your... We cannot reach our potential in this world. Asher lezeh shoefet ha'tava Elohit ha'shlema. The whole idea that God is good and the greatest good that Hashem gave us is that we are partners with Him and we have that choice and we can be independent. Nevertheless, our beginning, we start out, I don't know, the Christians might say we start out on the left foot. We say we start out with that we cannot totally achieve completion in this world. And like we saw last time, it's in our better interest at our stage where we're at, it's in our better interest to die.
V'acharei shekvar ha'italut tzricha likava benefesh ha'enoshit bichlala.
And after this being, that the climbing of man is for all of, not just me. I'm not in a vacuum, also regarding fixing myself. Because I want to educate my children. We are supposed to help our spouses grow. We are supposed to help our communities. We're supposed to help Am Yisrael. In other words, again, another aspect of, you don't live in a vacuum, for good or for bad. But in our world, we are affected today with globalization. Corona was a very sharp lesson in the, what Rav Kook calls, the Achdut HaKolelet, how everyone and everything is
integrated,
right? Interwoven. Shemitzida, from as far as mankind is concerned, Srichayla.
On the share screen, there's a window that's okay. Good, thank you. Okay.
I removed that. Oh, okay. Tada. ואחרי שכבר ההתעלות צריכה להיקבע בנפש האנושית בכללה, שמצידה, the topic of the sentence is the אנושות, the mankind, צריכה היא למעבר של המיטה. We need that מעבר, that transition of death to the world to come. Again, like we saw last time, it's not the final stage. The final stage is we return to the body in Triat HaMetim, in the revival of the dead. But we do need that stage in order to achieve a higher level.
V'chol ha'itpatchuyot ha'ba'ot l'ragla, memela ein be'efshar she'yitzu min ha'klal anashim yechidim, she'igiu b'ma'alat b'chiratam ad ha'gvul ha'yotem rumam.
Even Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, even according to the opinion that says that they never sinned, they don't live in a vacuum. And they are part of the accumulation. And again, just like we gain from previous generations, we also lose from previous generations. And, you know, that's something, if your kids ever go to a psychologist or they learn a little Freud and they blame you for everything, so you just point out that they should also thank you for everything. That accumulation of sins and of mitzvot, and brit avot, for example, that we learned about 2 weeks ago, right? The fact that we are still gaining, benefiting from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and from the fact that our forefathers accepted the Torah, and their bekitzur, it's, we benefit a lot that we're not in a vacuum. But notice that Rav Kook is going not just in our generation, but also the accumulation of mankind,
she'enenu tzarich od tmura al yedei ma'avar hamita.
It might be that Moshe Rabbeinu himself might not need such a transition state.
Mine sherak tchunatam ha'atzmit yicholim hem la'avi lidei hama'ala yoter me'ula. Shu davara talui bahem.
Right? That the individual really can achieve his maximum. Will, choice, autonomy, whatever you want to call it, is extremely strong. And we all know it. When we set our mind to something, and that's one of the keys. I remember, I think I brought the example once that I was the captain of our high school basketball team, and I had an embarrassing low percentage of free throws. My free throw percentage was lower than a jump shot during the game. And I don't know if that ever was. Maybe Will Chamberlain had that because he always shot from under the basket. But then he was terrible at free throws, right? Oh, that's more modern, right? But it was embarrassing. And I decided that after school, we finished at, I think, like 5:30, and I decided I was not going to go home until I could hit 50% of my free throws. And I would just keep shooting and counting the percentage till I hit 50%. And then on my way home, I realized, hey, if I got to 50%, maybe I can get to 60%. And then the next day, I said, I'm not going home. I don't remember. Sometimes it took a long time. But I hit 60%. And then 70%. And to make a long story short, I was able to pass 80% on free throws, which is a collegiate level. There are a lot of pros, like Shaq O'Neal probably never shot. I know Will Chamberlain never shot 80%. You know, he tried shooting underhand. Look on YouTube, you can probably find that and have a good laugh. Vikitsur, I remember that. Anyway, I learned there in, I guess it was 11th grade, that if you want something, ein davar omed bifnei haratzon, if you want to learn to play a musical instrument, put your mind to it, you will succeed. Unless you're on that far tone deaf end of the bell curve, right? So, okay, that's 12.5% of people on any given topic. Okay, so don't choose music if you have a deaf ear, right? But the idea is that will is extremely, extremely strong. Aval, but, paragraph Dalid, Ech yaviu lidei ma'ala gmura et oto achelik hanimsach benafsham min nefesh enoshut hakolelet. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, who knows how to utilize his free will, and climbed up to the 49th level of Sha'arei Bina, he still, there's no way out of it. He does not live in a vacuum. He has people around him who are problematic. He had people who before him are problematic. And even that great generation, which is called Dor Dayav Yitziat Mitzrayim, who saw the splitting of the Red Sea and they saw supernatural miracles, I guess you can't ask for a better sviva than that, but and they sinned in a golden calf. But let's even put that to the side, right? Because they Hashem forgave it. But there are shortcomings that go back to Adam and Chava. And that's really what the Gemara is saying. Even for Moshe Rabbeinu. Sheze yi efshar sheyitukan ke'im al yedei hitalut klalit lechol ha'adam. And this is the positive side of it, that we can fix mankind. L'taken olam b'malchut Shaddai means that just like I sometimes have to pay the price for something that Adam did 5,700 years ago, hey, you and I also have that capability of fixing the world and influencing the world. And that is the power of education, of chinuch, of raising children, of working with young people, with teaching on the internet, right? We all remember, everybody asked themselves to remember one sentence that one person said to them at the right place that was a game changer for them. I think everyone has something like that, right? Everyone looks back and thinks of one sentence that somebody said that was a game changer. Okay, so it works two ways. This is, by the way, it should sound familiar. The Talmud Yerushalmi tells the story on the Pasuk, V'avta l'reacha kamocha, of the guy who was, he bought a seat on the boat, and he was drilling a hole under his seat, and somebody was saying, it's interesting what kind of drills they used to have before there were electric drills. I'm talking 1800 years ago. And so the guy said, what are you doing? He says, I'm drilling a hole under my seat. So the guy says, but you're going to sink the boat. He says, but I paid for the seat. Right? You do not live in a vacuum. We can't say that too many times, because that's exactly the problem. And it's also the solution. Do you see what Rav Kook is saying? It's also the problem, and it's also the solution, so that we can gain from others who have a higher IQ than I do, or who are more understanding than I am, and who have better midot than I am. We can learn from each other also. Ki timalei haaretz dea et Hashem kemayim liyam michasim. That eventually, until we reach that point, and we're not there yet, eventually the world is going to be full of knowledge, like the ocean is full of water. In other words, 100%. Today there's no such thing as 100%. Because even if you are 100%, our generation isn't, and our history isn't. So as of now, on the other hand, Rav Kook is explaining that the day will come where we will get to that 100%. At that point, there won't be free will. That's a different topic. Ki mikre echad latov v'letahor v'letamei. In the end, we all go to the same place. We all have to die. We all benefit from each other. We all lose out from each other. By the way, it's a good time to mention the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, the Guide for the Perplexed. We learned this together once. I don't know if we ever learned it inside. The Rambam is asked about the evil in the world, the bad in the world. And the Rambam, just like everything in the army, says, is divided into three parts. One part is the bad that's built into having a physical world, right? That things eventually die, that every 100 years there is a tsunami, that every, what is it, 28, Halley's Comet? 28 years, something like that, right?
86 years is Halley's Comet. 28 years is the cycle of the sun.
Okay. Ah, Birkata Chama. Nachon, I should have known that. Anyway, so that's a very small percentage of the evil. The Rambam says there's a much higher percent of evil that we do to each other, that we offend each other, that we your boss says something to hurt you, that somebody takes your parking spot, that somebody scratches your car, that somebody profits at your expense or charges you too much, right? Wars, that's bad that man does to each other. And then the Rambam says there's the third and the most common type of evil is what man does to himself. That if you overeat or undereat, or you oversleep or undersleep, or you just do too much or too little, and then you come to God and you complain, God, why do you do this to me? And the Rambam says, as a doctor, Habibi, you did it to yourself. You know, don't complain to God. But today we're talking about the second topic of evil that man does to each other. Look at Hamas. We didn't ask for Hamas, right? We didn't ask for Egypt or Hezbollah either, right? We don't live in a vacuum. So we have to react. Also the political situation, right? The right wing and the left wing and pro-reform and against reform. That is the beauty or the challenge of life, that you don't live in a vacuum. And again, this is meant to be used, like everything, to be used to our advantage, right? Yeah, your spouse has shortcomings, and you can use that to your advantage. And your spouse has longcomings? What's the opposite of shortcomings? Strong points. And
virtues,
and use that to your advantage. And she or he should use you to your advantage. And the wisdom that we get from our parents, from our teachers, right? Use that to your advantage. Again, the fact that we don't live in a vacuum is the solution. Even if Moshe Rabbeinu loses out. Now, I'll just mention, I brought here at the bottom, you don't have it in the sheets, Chazon on Simchonut. This is something that we learned together about 10 years ago, which is very connected to our topic. This is in Piska Vav, where Rav Kook writes about vegetarianism. And one of the questions, by the way, this is it's interesting. Every single time I teach Chazon HaTzimchonut to 18, 19, 20-year-olds, there's almost always somebody who asks this question. I guess older people, for some reason, it doesn't bother them so much. But younger people are bothered with the question. After Rav Kook explains that after man fell in the flood, in Rav Kook's famous explanation that why did God have to allow man after the Noah's flood to eat meat, Rav Kook says that the sin of man, among other things, that he was treating his fellow man like animals. And on the other hand, Chazal tell us that that generation was sleeping, with animals, bestiality. And Rav Kook explains that Hashem wanted to widen the gap that animals, you eat, you don't marry. People, you marry, you do not eat. Right, it's interesting, and it's Rav Kook. This is less famous in Afikim BaNegev. He writes the same thing regarding Adam and Chava, that the snake, according to the Midrash, used to be like a human being, and he spoke, and he convinced, and he was like the Yetzer Hara, and the snake's punishment was that he doesn't talk anymore, he doesn't walk anymore, he slithers on, and that man trods upon him. Rav Kook explains again here also that snakes you trod upon, you don't listen to them. Human beings, we have to widen that gap. So Rav Kook says that that clarification, which eventually man will grow out of, will mature out of, and we won't need to wear leather, and we won't need to eat animals. But in the meantime, that's where we're at. And as I started saying, a very common 18-year-old question is, well, why do the animals have to pay the price? It's a good question. But, you know, we're just so used to the world that, of course, you eat animals, right? But it's a sort of a tamim question, right? Why do animals have to pay the price for man's shortcoming? And man's sin. And Rav Kook writes, "Gam balei ha'chayim tzrichim l'shalem et masa ma'avar." Yes, in this transition period, which is exactly what we're talking about today, that all of life is transition, and that last transition cannot be done in this world. We need to be in the world to come, in the Garden of Eden, for that last transition. But even the transitions in this world that mankind is constantly evolving, and it was good for mankind to be able to eat animals. Again, to clarify the difference between man and animals. Ki gam ha'adam hirba l'shalem misim rabim. Mankind, not just animals, mankind has also paid the price for that evolution. What is Rav Kook referring to? First of all, the Nevi'im, the prophets. Yeshayahu was assassinated. They tried killing Yirmiyahu. They tried killing Elijah, Eliyahu. The prophets did not have easy lives. Why? Because they kept telling people things that the people don't want to hear. So the people don't like their conscience, and they always took it out on the prophets. The prophets paid the price of making the world a better place, because they also don't live in a vacuum. Am Yisrael is called Am HaNevi'im. We are a nation of prophets. And according to Rav Kook, and also we mentioned once Pascal, who says that the Jewish people are the conscience of mankind. So one of the reasons people don't hate Jews is like they... Why people hate Jews is just like they don't like their conscience. So we have paid, and we've suffered a lot, over Jewish history. We've probably suffered more than we have gained from being the chosen people, right? So we also pay the price. And the world, the good guys, right? Whether it be the Allies against the Central Forces, or the Allies against the Axis in World War II, or us against Hamas and our enemies in the Arab world. And yeah, those soldiers who were on the battlefield, they pay the price. And Am Yisrael pays the price. And because, again, you're part of something big. And this is what Rav Kook always writes about the Achdut HaKolelet. So just like animals suffer, so we started eating animals in order to stop marrying them, and to differentiate that we have to be first good to people who are on a higher level. So animals are also paying the price, just like we paid the price. Al mizbach ha'ishtamut shel enoshut, on the altar, we also have lost a lot of lives on the altar of improving of mankind. Haklalit, the general mankind, the non-Jews also. 99.8% of mankind is not Jewish. And they also benefit from our monotheism and our morality and our Ten Commandments, but we also suffer from that, from our role. Acha atid ha-ne'edar, but in the future, the great future, hu yimche et kol ha-dima'ot, u'macha Hashem Elokim dim'a me'al kol panim. The Pasuk in Yeshayahu 25 says that the day will come that Hashem will dry up the tears from all faces. Notice, not just human faces. Animals also have been suffering because of man's shortcomings. And the Jewish people are suffering because of man's shortcomings. And we all suffer because of the Jewish people's shortcomings. And we all suffer because of our shortcomings, and they suffer. Bekitzor, you don't live in a vacuum. But as Rav Kook is saying, so the downside is that even Moshe Rabbeinu suffers. The upside is that we all gain from each other. We gain from our forefathers. We gain from our parents. We gain from the accumulation. We gain from that they found in, where did they find Corona? In Greece. What is it?
Wuhan in China.
Right. Right, we suffer from the sicknesses that we get from other countries, and we benefit from the vaccinations that we get from other countries. The Kitzur, thank God, there is unity, which is another word for godliness. The world is based on unity, and again, we do not live in a vacuum. For better or for worse, usually it's for better.